We're just going to roll right into this. It's the news, according to me. It's a little loud there. What happened there? Good Tuesday morning. It is December 3rd. It's just flipped over to 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 2024. I am your host, Kevin. I'm Kevin, and I'm here. I'm Stone Rockefeller. Whatever. I don't have much of a broadcast name. That's why I'm not a broadcaster. I'm just a podcaster. I do a potty cast. Time for the potty. We have, I have something in my throat. That's what we have. We have something in my throat. I have in my cup. Let's get this out of the way. I've got my cup here. I've got my blend of Pacific Island chai and Big Train chai with my Cinnabon creamer, and then I've also got my backup cup. That's good. That's good. That's good chai this morning. Tastes good. It's kind of cold out there. It's been below freezing here the last couple days. Some snow on the ground. A little bit of snow on the ground. Of course, they were calling for, we're going to get over a foot of snow. That's just in. We're going to get a foot of snow here. We didn't even get an inch, I don't think. The lake effect, I think, further north of here, and up the coast there of Michigan. Off the lake, Lake Michigan effect snow was they might have gotten some up there. They had a really bad pile up on one of the highways. I think it was on 94. It was a mess. That's usually the first big snow of the year. It typically happens. People are driving like knuckleheads, and somebody does something stupid or something happens, and they start sliding all over the place, and it was a major mess. However, in my backup cup, I have apple cider this morning. I've got some apple cider. So I've been drinking that. I have a few things to get into this morning. Not going to be a real long show. It's going to be for 30 minutes. Just so you can set your egg timer so you can wake back up again. Or for those of you who are using this to go to sleep. I know some people who use this to fall asleep just because I'm just droning on and it doesn't mean anything and just kind of keeps their brain busy while they just kind of fall off to sleep. That's why at the end I like to, shout at them, try to wake them up. Going out the door. Kind of like what Joe Biden's doing to the media. We have the rhetoric of going around this whole thing with Joe Biden's pardon of Hunter Biden. Now it's just taken over the news cycle. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. It's all of a sudden, I don't know even Ukraine is, I don't know what's going on in Ukraine. Nothing apparently. Nothing's going on there. Nothing's going on at the border. Nothing's happening anywhere else, apparently. Nuclear war isn't about to break out because apparently the only thing that's happening is Hunter Biden's been pardoned. That's the only thing they're talking about. They're very confused right now. Dan Goldman, I think the best example of this, Dan Goldman, who is usually the slickest liar on the left, between him and Jamie Raskin. And of course, Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is not a good liar. He's just a liar. He's just, people are all actors. Speaking of actors, I was watching this. I went back and just happened to, I was watching something else, and somebody was replaying this thing where Zuckerberg, right after Trump had gotten shot, they went back and they played, Zuckerberg was being interviewed a few days later. He said something about, that was the most badass thing I've ever seen, or whatever it was he said. I went back and listened to that again, and it seemed like he was acting. Now, this guy, I'm sure he has taken some acting classes. I'm sure he has worked with some kind of a coach on presentation when he's doing public speaking. I'm sure he has taken some. He hasn't just naturally learned this stuff. Now I did a little bit of this because I'm back in college. Was it 40 years ago? And we had some stuff like that. And going through high school, you have a little bit of public speaking experience where you speak in front of the class or whatever you're doing. I kind of learned it on my own. I have to say, and it probably shows that if I did that. I can get up in front of 10,000 people and talk and not have, I'm not even nervous about that. Because I'm just going to be who I am, and I'm not going to be. Now, if I have to read a specific script, that's when it gets to the point. Like when I was part of this team one time at church where between songs we would always have a scripture read, and so we'd have somebody come up to read a scripture. And I wanted to read it right and not fumble it. That probably made me more nervous than anything. But just to get up and speak about something I know, something about, I can get up and do that. I can get up and lead songs. It'd be 20,000 people. It wouldn't bother me. Now, 5 people probably would. Because it's a little more personal. They're right there in your face. You can see their reaction when you make a mistake. Now, I have a... I don't know what it is about that. It's just that when I was a kid, I was 13? I was 12 or 13 years old. I was doing magic shows. Me and a friend of mine back in seventh grade, we seventh and eighth grade, we were doing these. We were like really into this magic stuff. Bill Bixby was kind of one of our heroes back then, the magician show called The Magician. They call them illusionists now because magic has a bad name. So when they have a magician now at church, they call him an illusionist. It's Decepticons. They have, by the way, I don't do that stuff anymore. It's okay, I guess. I don't know. As long as you know the person's being manipulative and they're doing these little tricks, trying to fool you. The ball isn't here, it's over there. Not in this hand. There's nothing in this hand. Nothing up this sleeve. Whatever. So, the interesting thing about that was I think my first time I ever did a magic show, like in front of anybody, like big groups, I did a magic show in front of like 400 people. Me and my buddy, we did this trick. He would do a trick and then I would do a trick. And we made people laugh, and it was. I think that just caught on to me. And then, of course, I was doing magic shows everywhere at that time. I probably did 10 magic shows, and I was a kid. I was in grade school, high school, up through junior high, and that's very unusual, I guess, for a kid to do that kind of thing. To be in that kind of, I didn't realize it at the time. Anyway, so I kind of learned it on my own. But Zuckerberg, I don't think ever learned any kind of social skills like that. He was a nerd. He was a dweeb going through school. He was a computer guy. Now he didn't even actually build Facebook, by the way. He just took Facebook away from his friends. Kind of ripped him off, and then he took it some, then he was the one who made it what it is, basically, him and eventually the team he had working for him. But he's a user. He uses people. Let's just put it that way. That's how he got where he is. Now, I don't think Elon Musk is that way. There are some individuals in the world that I think are users. They can use other people very well. Andrew Tate, is that the guy's name, Andrew Tate? Some kind of a... He is a user. Knows how to use people. I guess his platform, one of his platforms, social media platforms, got hacked, I guess. Big time bad things happening there. I think he supposedly was a kind of a Christian. He became a Christian believer or something at some point, and then all of a sudden he became a Muslim. Now he's a Muslim. And... I'm just not sure what to think about the guy. He's not. I don't. Yeah. Anyway, I think he's a user. So the users tend to be manipulative. When they see you, they don't see a person that they want to get to know, that they want to get to lift up or to help along the way or to build you into, you know, what you, well, the most you can be, what they want to do. When they think that, in their heads, they think they do. But when they look at you, they see the talent that you have and how they can use that talent. And they're helping you. They're helping you in the process, supposedly. But it's really all about them. I'm going to help you by helping you help. You're going to help me, but I'm going to help you help, because that's helping you. It's helping me. See how I'm such a great, such a great leader. And all you have to do is serve me. not enabling you to do anything, become something greater, or to become your, you know, to become a leader yourself. True leadership is the kind of leadership that I think that the Messiah represented, which is calls you to be. He leads you into leadership, is what he does. It's a fascinating thing. Anyway, that's true humility as a leader. I've served under a lot of leadership in a lot of different organizations, and I'll tell you what. I could go on a whole show with just that I could go probably a whole year on shows about things I've learned from good leaders and bad leaders. And I got to tell you, there's more bad leaders out there than there are good leaders, unfortunately. I have served under, whether it was business situation or employee situation, church life, church organization, church government, I've been through a lot of bad examples. I can't say I've got it all figured out. All I'm saying is I know when it's wrong. And it's right off the bat, especially in the church, it seems like it's kind of prevalent there for some reason. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Just a whole lot of spiritual crap. So we have got a few things I want to play for you. One of them is this thing about Dan Goldman. And, of course, the news media is kind of freaking out about this whole thing. But, I want to point out some things. I'm going to get back to this whole voice thing. About how I hear, when I hear people on the radio and or newscast, whatever it is, or television, videos, whatever it is, whatever media there is. It's interesting sometimes to hear some people speak because of the, just where they're at. You can kind of tell. I'll point it out to you when we get to this point. I got a couple things recorded this morning, I'll just let you hear this. Hey, I wonder if I push this button. Let me try something here real quick. Can you hear me? You can still hear me, but I can't hear myself. Apparently, you can hear me, but I can't hear myself. Well, that's interesting. I just wanted to see if I can actually turn my headphone off. So I can still, I can't hear myself. I can't hear my in the monitor. Okay, so I want to play this real quick. This is some lady who apparently was saying, she had stood up for Joe Biden initially, and now they're having to backtrack. All these people are having to backtrack everything that they said. Oh, they were all just, oh, this is just such a contrast between Joe Biden, the rule of law, who respects the rule of law and respects the jury. He's not going to give his son a pardon. And Donald Trump, who gave everybody pardons, all his friends got pardoned. If that's the case, how many of his friends got put in prison? They went after Trump himself with literally trumped up charges, with literally they changed the laws just to go after a man. This should terrify everybody. I think it's one of the reasons he won. One of the many reasons he won. Because people are seeing through this crap. We are being lied to continuously from sunup to sundown by these supposed news organizations that are nothing but a propaganda network. And people are catching on. They're getting tired of it. They're realizing, hey, these people are lying to us. They lied to us about this. They lied to us about that. What else are they going to lie to us about? They're tired of the lying, the hyperbole, all the exaggerations and the craziness and the rhetoric. They're tired of it. I think that's why people came out. Well, people came out to vote for Trump, but they just didn't show up to vote for Kamala because she just wasn't. They have no answers for anything. It's just you have to vote for me because I'm historic. I'm a black woman. We have to have a black woman all of a sudden. And you know, to me, it's just too reminiscent of even the way she was talking at some points. She was talking. She had the cadence and the whole stammer and tammer a lot of one Barack Obama back when he was doing his thing. That just sounded too much like him, the way she would present herself. And of course, she would talk and wouldn't say anything. You know, Barack at least would have a point typically. It was all fluff though, too. You know, you got hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. I'm bringing hope and change. What does that mean? This is the kind of thing that collectivists always do, because people won't buy into collectivism on its own. It's an emotional trend that they have to pick up on to get you to go down that road. I got to tell you, because of individualism and independence, the only thing that you can say about that, if you're honest with people, is guess what? You're going to have independence, but now you're also going to have responsibility and accountability, because you're going to be responsible for what you do. You can reap your reward, or you can pay the price of what you've done wrong. Either, you know, that's the way it works. It isn't an easy message. It's not an easy ideology. It's hard, but it's worthwhile. Much like the gospel. It's simple. It's not easy. At least not in the sense of just, you know, anyway. So here's a video. I'll play this real quick. This is the lady who was out there talking about how she was, you know, all this stuff about the Joe Biden and how different he was from Trump because he was. But now this is the kind of excuse. You're going to hear this from a lot of people. I've heard this from probably five or six different individuals, most of them women. This lady was some kind of a I don't know what she is. This was on the Megyn Kelly show. Let's see if we can play this real quick and just see where we're going with it.
I do think with some of the nominations that Trump has put up, I think it probably caused a little bit of worry for him. But also, I think people have to remember the president has lost two children already, and he does not need to lose another one to more political, you know, witch hunts that the president's calling them. He worries about Hunter going to jail. There's a lot of things wrapped up in this, but I think at the end of the day, the president made a decision as a father to keep his son out of jail and out of harm's way moving forward. He, again, does not want to lose another son. He has lost two children already, and he does not want this to, like, go on any further once he leaves office.
Okay, so what we have here is a father who's lost two children already and doesn't want to lose another one. You've lost him already. If he's already gone down the road, done all the stuff. He got, you know, got convicted of some things. Are you going to lose him? He's going to go to jail. He's going to whatever. The whole thing, it's creepy about this. And I one of the things that Andrew McCabe said, I don't think I recorded that, by the way. Andy McCabe, I wanted to play that for you. I wonder if I can find that. It might be here in my list of things to do. To show you here this morning. Let's see if I can find it. This is, let's go to history because it's probably going to be there. Andy McCabe was saying this stuff about, here he is. Oh, this is interesting. This is on Memeology. And, this is one of those deals where, let's see what he has to say here. Let's see if I can play this real quick for you. And this is ex-FBI Deputy Director Andy McCabe's worried pardon will perpetuate the conspiracy theories around Hunter Biden. On December 2nd, this is what he says on December 2nd.
Republicans are really seizing on the time frame here, right? CNN. Including the senator-elect from Indiana, Jim Banks, who said Joe Biden issued a pardon to Hunter Biden for any crimes that he might have committed since 2014. Why such a specific year? Well, Hunter Biden just so happened to join the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian energy firm, in that same year, 2014. So corrupt. What do you make of the time frame here?
Well, I mean, my initial impression was this is the president's desire to protect him for the longest period that reflects the president's time of service in the White House. But nevertheless,
all right, let me just say, I'll make a comment about his voice here because that's what I do. That's the one thing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. But I do have something to say about voices. Andy McCabe, I don't know how he ever got his job at the FBI. I really don't. This guy. Intelligent. Don't get me wrong. His brain works fine. The problem is he has no. He's not. There's no moral fortitude here in this guy. This guy has no. What do I want to say here? He is a. He's a puppet. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about the guy. Okay, let's get here.
Nonetheless, the effect of that very broad 10-year time frame is, ironically, it will perpetuate the conspiracy theories and the accusations around Hunter Biden. They'll never be resolved criminally, but it gives his detractors the opportunity to say, oh, well, he must have done something in 2014 to require a pardon going back that far.
Well, I wonder what that thing would have been that he did in 2014. I wonder what that would have been. That's when the whole thing started with Burisma. All the money started coming in 2014. Why would he go back, you know, for 10 years like that? Just kind of ambiguously just kind of just decided on 10 years for a pardon. Gee, I wonder why. Happens to be the year that he. So you see what they're doing here, and this is what I guess it's not so much about the pardon. I think that whole thing. Joe lied. You know, it's the response from the media that I really want to make a point on here. Pardon him or not pardon him. I don't really don't care. Joe got away with it. Okay, Joe got away with taking millions of dollars. Joe and Hunter and his family, they took millions of dollars in influence. That changed policy with foreign countries. They were buying influence. He got a prosecutor fired from his job. This was extortion. This was quid pro quo stuff. It was all criminal. And Joe should have been in prison he never should have been president, should have been in jail. However, that didn't work out well because they had the FBI in their pocket. The FBI knew this stuff all along too. Don't think that the intelligence agencies that were out there, the FBI, CIA, NSA, all this stuff, I'm sure they all knew about it. But they hold this stuff just like they're holding on to the Epstein list. They know exactly who's on that list. I guarantee you the people at the top are the ones who know, they know where that list is. If you get them in front of Congress and you ask them, ask Christopher Wray, well, I can't talk about it. It's an ongoing investigation. So who has the list? Well, that's a thing. Can't talk about it. We can talk about that. It's in a secure location. We can't talk about it. Whose names are on the list? Oh, well, we certainly can't talk about that. No, we can't talk about that. I guarantee you the people whose names are on that list, they know their names on the list. And this is the thing. They use that. It's a two-way street here. The FBI gets what they want. Hey, are you going to fund us? We need a new building. We need a new funding. We need $8 million to put up a coffee shop in our new building. Okay, so yeah, you remember that thing you did last summer? Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's your $8 million. There you go. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's got some good coffee. Come on over for a cup of coffee sometime there, Senator. So this is what we have going on. But I want to get to this. This is the one I really want to play because this is the most telling, I think, of all of them. It's Dan Goldman, the liar extraordinaire. I think him and Jamie Raskin and Adam Schiff all went to the same school of lies. Let's see if we can find this. I screen recorded this one because I didn't want to lose it. I think this is it right here, I believe. Oh, no, this is a different. This is something else I want to talk about. That's a good one, too. But here we are. Yeah, this is Dan Goldman. Okay, this is the one I want to play. Yeah, this is good stuff. Hopefully the audio is going to be okay on this. And I want to play this a couple of times because I want you to hear something specifically. First, I want you to hear the whole thing just in context, and then we'll go back and we'll listen to some things here. So this is going to be Dan Goldman.
Do you think a pardon for his son would be a mistake?
Yes, and I don't think there's any chance that President Biden is going to do that, unlike his predecessor, who pardoned all of his friends.
What does that feel like, watching yourself back then, reassuring
people? Give us a little bit more context as well. So this is this lady who's talking right now, that lady was just last talking. She played a video, a recording of Dan Goldman earlier. Now, what he doesn't realize is that he doesn't remember that this was right after Hunter lost the appeal for the plea deal, basically what he was trying to get done. He really messed it up. He messed up the plea deal, the whole thing. That had all fallen through, and he ended up getting convicted. And this was Dan Goldman's response. So when he did this, when he said this, this was his response to the and I'm going to play this again because this is his response to the back then. This was probably in July, sometime in July. So let's hear what he has to say here again. I'm going to play this again.
Do you think a pardon for his son would be a mistake?
Yes, and I don't think there's any chance that President Biden is going to do that.
No chance.
Unlike his predecessor, who pardoned all of his friends.
What does that feel like, watching yourself back then, reassuring people that Biden was not going to issue a pardon for his son?
Yeah, and I think that if that plea agreement and that plea deal had gone through, there would be no pardon. That was a satisfactory outcome.
It had already fallen
that
through.
Only was...
Huh? What?
Sorry?
When you reacted, this was when the deal had fallen through.
And then the look on his face is... He literally had no response to that. I wish I had the rest of it because he deflected off of that and said nothing. He said nothing after that. Now, I want you to hear when she confronts him with this, if I can find where it is here. Where'd it go? That's not it. There we go. All right, so she confronts him with this. I want you to hear her voice. This isn't so much about Dan Goldman. We know he's a liar. He's a professional, perfectionist when it comes to lying. Let's listen to what her voice sounds like. And I want you to pay attention to her voice more because I want to point out a few things here. This is kind of interesting.
Feel like watching yourself back then, reassuring people that Biden was not going to issue a pardon for his son.
Yeah, and I think that if that plea agreement and that plea deal had gone through, there would be no pardon. That was a satisfactory outcome.
It had already fallen
that
through.
Only was. Sorry?
When you reacted, this was when the deal had fallen through.
So when she okay, so I just love the look on his face. The last frame of this, yeah, I wish I could show you this. I wish it was pretty good. This was on Lefty's Losing It, but it was gotcha. So here's what ended up happening. What I want to point out here is, if you listen to her voice carefully, this is a person who doesn't want. They are not into this. They don't like the position they are in right now. In fact, I don't think she likes her job a whole lot right now. Because this is a person who realizes the scam that is the Democrat Party, the scam that has been perpetrated, the whole media thing, everything about it. She is realizing it right before our very eyes. And I think that this is what's important here is that there's a lot of people in the media right now who are waking up to this. They're getting tired of this crap. Anna Kasparian, by the way, but she was no conservative by any means, but she's realizing even Cenk Uygur is calling out the Democrat Party. And they're all upset about this whole thing and how they realize, hey, we've treated these people like, you know, we've been saying all these things and treating them like this and saying all these things. We've been lying, you know, basically to them this whole time and saying that Trump's the liar. Of course they're going to respond. They've caught on to us. Basically, we've been found out. That's what it is. Now, there's another guy I'd like to play this. I don't know if I played this the other day or not. This guy, what was the guy's name? I wish I could find it. It was I'm sure I have it somewhere. I wish I had recorded it because guy's got a kind of a common name. Oh, here we go. You got Mark Dice has already pulled his show up for the morning. Looks like it's going to be good. I can't find this guy. He was a Republican. I think he was a governor, a Republican governor, and he ended up losing an election, and he blamed Trump. But of course, now he's all on Trump now. I can't find it here. People are talking about whether they trust Mark Zuckerberg. He seems to be coming over to MAGA side now, and he's not. Do not trust the man. He's a total sham. He's a total user. Rhymes with loser. He's the left now is freaking out, and even some people on the right. There's some Republicans that are freaking out about Kash Patel, by the way, which tells you you're over the target when that starts to happen. I wish I could find that because it is very telling. It is very this guy goes on and on about how they've been lying to people so long, and now they're finding out. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. It's just not. Could be in my history. Anyway, so there you go. There you have it. There's some interesting stuff here. I listened to some stuff through the evening last night. what's that right there? No, that's not. Ellen DeGeneres, I guess, took off for wherever she went. Where is she at? She's over in Spain or someplace, wherever she went. Her million-dollar mansion over there, I guess, flooded out. It's kind of weird stuff. There's another one. That's got Dan Goldman and Adam Schiff, a couple other people. I don't know. I just don't know what happened to this. Oh, here, is this it? This is it right here. Let's see how long this is. This is 6 minutes long. Let's see if I can find this. It's this guy talks. Oh, yeah, here he is. This is right off the bat. They got him right off the bat. Let's see what this is.
Deflating. For those of us who have been out there for a few years now yelling about what a unique threat Donald Trump is, nobody's above the law, we've been screaming. Well, Joe Biden just made clear his son Hunter is above the law. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his mouth, we've been screaming. Joe Biden repeatedly lied about this. The politicization of the justice system, Donald Trump and his people have been screaming. Exactly what Biden said here.
So in the last video.
So there you go. This guy says it, you know, he just says it the way it is. We've been, calling out Donald Trump on all these things. And here it is, Joe Biden's the one. And here's the deal. There's a whole lot more they've been lying to us about. And people realize it. And this is just the culmination. This is just one thing. If this was just one lie, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I don't think people would be, oh, okay, whatever. He's on his way out. He's going to give his son a pardon. What man wouldn't do that? Oh, I wouldn't do that. I know my dad wouldn't have done that for me. He wouldn't have done it. If I did stuff wrong and I got convicted of it, he wouldn't abuse the power of the presidency or the power, any power he had to give me a break. He wouldn't abuse power. Now, if it was within his power and he justified that it was... Look, this deal, this conviction, they're saying, oh, this was just a political conviction. He's a political pawn. They were just going after him because his name was Biden. No, they gave him a break because his name was Biden. What they could have done to him was lock him up for the rest of his life for what he did. It was borderline treason. And I don't like to use that word flippantly because a lot of people do. That's treason. Well, treason is one thing. This is definitely border. This is right on the line. You are manipulating foreign policy for the sake of personal money gain. You have classified documents in your garage. All places that Hunter had access to. What are you doing with those documents there, sir? Why do you have documents in the same place in an office where the Chinese are heavily involved in donating to a particular university? You just happen to have documents there in your little office that you never use. Locked up next to your Corvette in your other house where Hunter happens to be living. Documents that you got when you were a senator that you shouldn't have even had outside of the skiff. This is a long, long trend of messing with the American people and the secrets, classified documents of the country. Selling influence, doing all this stuff. I don't care about the gun law. I don't care about the IRS issue you had. Those are all personal issues. You can deal with those on your own and take whatever happens to you there. It's the meddling and the fiddling with the presidency, with the office of the vice president and as president. The influence that you sold. Because people voted for you to represent them and you undermined them. That's borderline stuff right there. So don't tell me that, well, they only went after Hunter because his name was Biden. No, they gave him a break because his name was Biden. They didn't go after him the way they could have, but they wanted to hold it over Joe the rest of the time he was in office. This is what's happening here. And the whole time they're screaming at Trump for, you know, oh, Trump is Trump. Trump's the problem. Trump's the problem. Well, apparently, majority of the country now does not believe that anymore. And they're still going down that alley. They're still going down that road, thinking that's a winning topic. They're going to win the day by continuing to say this. Trump's a fascist. Trump's a racist. Trump's a dictator. You know, he's going to dictator. He's going to go after he's going to politically punish his enemies, political enemies. Whatever I want to say. Here I am getting all tongue-tied. I got to settle down. One more sip of chai. I should be good. I'm getting to the bottom of my cup. I should be settling down by now. I've got a lot to do. Tomorrow morning, the show will come to you from Madison, Wisconsin. I will be doing the show from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm sure it'll be nice and warm up there. Probably won't be a whole lot of snow, but it will be cold. That's supposed to be colder than it's supposed to be down the freezing levels. So I'll try to get up early in the morning, try to get you a good show in there. It'll be, you know, from a hotel room probably. Atlanta, Georgia will be the next morning. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. Down in an area where I'm kind of familiar with. I used to spend a lot of time down there. I used to do a lot of training down there. I used to be a teacher down there. And in a particular industry, not a school teacher, but the So I'll be down there Thursday morning I'll be down there. Getting back home then Thursday night. So Friday morning there'll be a normal show, hopefully normal show from either from the home studio here or from the worldwide headquarters, one of the two. I might try to make that the Friday show probably be from the worldwide headquarters. I do need to get over there because there's some things I need to get done. Hopefully some things won't freeze over there before I get back over there. There's some stuff that's issues out of my shop there. It's got some ceiling issues. I can't run the heater in my shop because it's had some issues with some insulation falling down. And I don't dare run the heater with that thing going on because, you know, that would be bad. So that's going on. So we have some repairs to do over there before that can all happen. Get things moving. In the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in this morning. And we will probably, there'll be a regular show tomorrow. It'll be a short show. Keep in touch with all the stuff that's going on. But I'm kind of surprised at this whole Biden thing has, the pardon thing has gone into the length of time that it has. I'm surprised it has consumed so much of the news cycle with so many other things happening, especially with the Trump cabinet being picked and all the things that are happening there. Could be a smokescreen. Here's what I think, folks. I think that Biden is going to step out sooner than we thought. He has to get these things clear. You know, everybody's asking, why didn't he wait till later? Well, I think there may be a December surprise or possibly an early January surprise for us. We may have another president prior to 47 may not be who we think it is. Let's put it that way. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya.